This is the Sue Free Show, talking about life, relationships, and achieving.
Do you wonder why you have to feel the things that hurt you? If there's a God who loves you, where is he now? Would you dare to believe that you still have a reason to sing? Cause the pain that you've been feeling, it can't compare to the joy that's coming. So hold on, you gotta wait for the light. Press on and just fight the good fight. Cause the pain that you've been feeling, it's just the dark before the morning.
Here's your host, Sue Freeze.
Thank you so much for joining the show today, and I'm so excited to be with you. I'm so excited because, you know, today is just a new day. The sun comes up new every morning, and God has something really, really great. I am asking you to just expect today. I want you to, since you're here and you're listening, there's a reason why you're listening. And I don't know what answers you need to hear. I don't know what words are going to pop out and are just going to ring in your ears. But there's going to be something that you're going to hear today that is going to be just for you. And I'm looking forward to it as you are. And so we're just going to move right into this show. I'm going to give you a brief bio of the person I have on the show today with me. And so his name is Larry Herlong, and he teaches, amuses, and inspires audiences nationwide, teaching and singing about the love of God and the manifestation of Jesus. He answered the call of God on his life as a young adult and went through a drastic transformation, which involved a 10-year stretch of traveling, training, preaching, and singing at charismatic Christian churches throughout the United States. He settled outside Mobile, Alabama, where he founded a mission to the poor and was known throughout the community as the Godfather Preacher. Praise Palace was the name of his organization, which housed, fed, and clothed families sent to him from the street, the city, and the county. He pastored a church adjacent to the homeless mission and from there launched a radio show, television segments, and recorded a number of albums, both singing and teaching the Word of God. After closing the mission, Larry has been teaching in small and large settings across the country. He has experienced the supernatural manifestation of Jesus and shares his experiences in the glory of God while pointing out in Scripture where these experiences are founded. I am so happy you're here with us, Larry.
I'm glad to be here.
So I met Larry, maybe an hour ago, and I had not talked to him before. And sometimes divine appointments happen, don't they? And connections happen, and I met another gentleman that was brought by a friend of mine. His name is Matt, and he said, you need to meet this man, Larry. And so here we are on the show, and I said, you know, what are we going to talk about? And Larry thinks like I do. It's like, you know, Jesus, take the wheel, and God's got control of this. And we are in sync when we say that we want the Lord to be in the center of your lives, to be at the forefront, and to guide you through every move, every step. And so through our own personal experiences, God uses our experiences, and he uses yours too. Wherever you are in your journey, God has something for you. And things have happened to you in the past because he's grooming you and preparing you for the future. So understand that. I don't know where you are in your journey. I don't know where you are in your life, whether you're on the high or you're the low or you're in the middle. But God has something grand for you, and he's prepared you for it. And I want to see that happen. I want to see the fullness of that happen in your life. And that's the purpose of this show, is to have the pursuit of passion, purpose, and connection. And that's why we're here. So Larry, when I was, you know, talking to you and I was asking God to kind of say, okay, where are we going to go with the show? Some things that have been happening to me in my workplace right now is commitment. I was thinking about the word commitment and what that means. And, you know, when you hire people and you're training people, you want people to articulate well. You want to have the expectations really clear so that those that are working with you and for you feel a comfort level of what the experiences or expectations are so that they can be successful in that journey. And I was asking you about that, and you had something to say about that. So I'm having a struggle right now. I'm having a struggle with certain individuals where I think that maybe I'm not expressing myself properly, or the expectations might not be clear. I don't know. Can anyone relate to that out there? Are there things that aren't happening the way you want them to? And do you ask yourself the question, could it be that I'm not being clear? I'm not being honest with myself. I'm not being honest with them. Larry, do you have any like words of advice or wisdom or encouragement? I know you do, on the subject.
I do. The wisdom of God teaches us that, you know, there are certain things that we need to look forward to with expectation. There should be a guideline of expectancy with what we look forward to be accomplished. And you have to choose the right person for that job. And sometimes we're in a hurry, and sometimes we choose the wrong person. And it's not what we call what I've learned as a L.A. term, it's not a fit. They don't fit with you. You don't fit with them. It's not really the job. It's how it's done, how it's executed. And in times past, when God put me in an area, I would go to work at first. And I'd always tell the employer, you know, I'm an extension of you, okay? So I'm going to do what I learned from you and how you want it done. And you give me a limit of authority. If I reach that authority and I can't make that decision, I'll call you. If you want advice, I'm going to give it to you. If you don't take the advice and you decide you want to drive this thing into the wall, it's into the wall we go. I'll pray for the pieces that's left over. But I learned it wasn't the job, it was the person. It was their company, their decisions, and their neck was on the chopping block when it come to responsibility. Whether it was the government, the client, the customer, or the business itself, there's a responsibility, and somebody has to answer to it. And so if you can't be that kind of person, if you don't know exactly and you can't hear what the employer is telling you, well, then maybe you're not the right person for the job. And the stress that's created when you try to put a square peg in a round hole, it's just not worth it.
Mm-hmm.
You can shake all you want to, but oil and water is not going to go together. It's either a fit in every way or it's not. That doesn't mean everybody's perfect. Of course, you're going to learn from them, and they're going to learn from you. Even if you do fit, there's adjustments. But there are things that won't work. That prayer of serenity, I used to didn't like that. It didn't sound like faith to me. But there really are things that you can't change, and if you could, it's not your job to do it. So sometimes you got to let it go. If you want what's right, whatever's in the way, whether it's a person, place, or thing. I used to teach this in people receiving miracles from God, and they seemed to get all the parts that they had to do except for one thing. I said, it's kind of like giving you a new Mercedes, you know, and you still got that old clunker sitting in that one car garage. There's nowhere to put it. So if you ever look outside and there's one circling your house, think about it. There may be something about you that you got to let go of. Before you can put the right thing in the right place, there's got to be a place to put it. So analyzing yourself, and then because your employees, your company, your ministry, everything becomes an extension of you, and you're an extension of God. So anything that doesn't fit for the path that God ordained for you, doesn't matter what or who, it's going to be adjusted to fit what you need to do to answer the call of God on you, or He will put somebody else in there that can.
What kind of time would you give that? Is there a time that you would give it? Because, you know, there's adjustments and there's a learning curve and whatnot. Can we put a time on when you bring somebody in and you talk to them and you give them the expectations? Is there a time?
Yeah. The hands on that clock is God's clock, and he don't wear a Timex like we do. And it's when you're ready to move to the next level and you need things to be done a certain way. There is a timing. There's a cosmic timing to everything that God does.
Mm-hmm.
But it's when He's ready to move. And you can always tell by the pressure or what you would call stress that's on you. The level of stress is your thermometer as to when you need to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I could give you a lot of cliches, not really scripture, but the wheel that squeaks the loudest gets the most oil.
Mm-hmm.
And the one that's bothering me the most, I'm going to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Okay. Might not be your arm.
Right.
Might not be your leg. Could be your little toe. You ever had one of them things out of whack?
Oh, certainly have.
There you go. But whatever it is, in order for you to function and focus, because that is the key, is focus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we see by light retraction through our eyes, but you get one of your eyeballs out of whack, and it doesn't matter. You're not going to see it the way you need to because you're irritated. Same way with a car. You can have one wheel out of balance, and if you don't fix it, it'll wear the other three out and shake things loose on your new car if you think you're wearing an old clunker around or driving it. So the responsibility to fix it is when it's wrong, and if you're going to have faith to make it right, faith is always when. Now, so you don't do and don't become guilty of what you don't like in others. You don't procrastinate when it comes to fixing and doing what's right. That's your responsibility. But it takes reason, it takes truth, and it takes a face-to-face. I mean, whatever you do, you got to do it right. He that does that which is right is righteous and none other. So do a little thing they say in the South, get her done.
Get her done. I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and have that fierce conversation, which is another title for another day. I did a podcast on fierce conversations, and they're really healthy and very important. And this was very good. And there's so many visuals. And when you talk, it's amazing, you know, because you just get visuals. You are listening to The Sue Freeze Show on our flagship station, KKLA 99.5. And we're talking to Larry Herlong. And he's an amazing man of God. And he has such wisdom. And just to listen to him in any situation, I mean, he came into my office and sat down across from my desk, and I started talking to him and revealing things. This is a complete stranger, and I started revealing things of, you know, vulnerable and transparent for me. And I felt totally comfortable to do that, and the response back was so helpful for me, and I felt like I needed a tape recording. So I wanted to share him with you, and I'm hoping, and I know for a fact, I'm not hoping, I know for a fact that you that are listening are going to get something out of today's show. Larry, I want to ask you a question. Describe to us the manifestation of Jesus and where our audience may read about this in Scripture.
Well, you can read about it from Genesis to Revelation, but you have to read it with the spirit eyes of God's spirit. You can't read it with a natural mind. And you got to wait on God to explain it to you, not just in words, but in manifestation. Because the kingdom of God is not just in word. It's in power and demonstration of the word. And you got to go back and be just a touch traditional or old fashioned when it comes to understanding and reason. God is not a human being. God is a spirit. Jesus became a human being and a completely sinless human being to purchase us out of the mentality of the curse and back into the glorified state that Adam should have maintained and brought and replenished this earth with. But he fell from grace because he yielded to I did it my way. He yielded to the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And earning and learning and knowing and producing, that's a process that helps you get to Christ, like the law in the Old Testament. And I think that's the place of the modern-day church. But the manifestation of Jesus is Jesus is a quickening spirit now that's seated at the right hand of His Majesty on high. And all power and authority has been given to Him as a quickening spirit, but He's still shaped like a human being. It's just that He's in a glorified body that's metaphysical, can walk through a wall and sit down and eat fish and honeycomb with you and show you that He's still physical. He's not just a spirit as you suppose. That's what He told Thomas. So basically, He's a glorified man, and He's a ghost. You say, wait a minute now. What does that mean? I said, well, He's a ghost. He's a spirit. A spirit is a ghost. Don't get too educational on me. Just don't get too technical. And God is a ghost. He's a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in ghost and in truth, or in spirit and in truth. He's a holy ghost that has powers and abilities that humans and even fallen angels don't have. He can be everywhere at one time and still be one individual in each one of us. And He's all-knowing, and He's all-powerful. He's omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. And He's your personal Father as a spirit creature. He's not the father of that cursed flesh that has problems all the time. But He said, if My living word, which is Christ Himself, the hope of glory, manifested Shekinah glory, His presence, abide in you, which is the spirit of divine love, not religion. Religion's a simple ritualistic practice of what you believe, and what you believe for the most part is what you've been taught basically by man under the influence of what they consider to be the letter of the law. So it's an illuminated ghost that looks just like He did as a physical man 2,000 years ago or better. except he's a quickening spirit now. And he said, if my word abide in you and you abide in me, I and my Father will come up and take our living quarters inside you. But you have to abide in it every day, continually applying the real living word, the revelation knowledge of what that word actually means to your soul, which is your mind, your will, and your emotions. And you got to exercise yourself to truth. And that way, with the washing of the water of the word and the regeneration of God's ghost, that means the quickening of God's spirit inside your spirit, will crank you up like you plug in one of these magic sticks to a computer, and will let you see past this third dimension. You can see with the eyes of the Spirit. You can see in the Spirit through the Spirit. But him that hath God's Spirit, more of it will be given. Him that hath not, even what he has, he can lose it. Because it's all obtained and it's all maintenance and it's all kept in place by God. So you use it or you lose it. Arise and shine, for thy light has come. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. No variations, no veritables, no shadows of turning. That's Isaiah 60. It says, God's glory will arise upon you, and it shall be seen upon you. Then it tells you from Isaiah 60 to always through the rest of the chapters, what that burning light shining from your face will draw to you is the same thing it drew to Solomon when he was king, and it shined off of him onto his cupbearers. People from the furthest parts of the earth came in caravans to bless him. And then all you have to do is maintain the character of Christ that comes from that same spirit or ghost and be willing to distribute. It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. And as long as you can keep that in your heart and help meet the needs of God's people first and assist them in the journey that they have in spreading God's kingdom of love, and divine wisdom on this earth, then he will furnish, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in that same glory by Christ Jesus himself, the Prince of glory. And that's where that light shines from. That's where that manifestation is Christ. God is light. And it's all through the word.
So those listening, there was a lot said in all of that. And I don't know about you, but I want all God has for me. How about you? Do you want all God has for you? So if there was a checkoff list, if there was something that we could say, I need to do these things, you said to be a doer. You know, we have those that listen but don't do. You know, action speaks louder than words. What would you suggest to somebody that wants what you're talking about right now, that wants to be empowered and wants to have this manifestation? What would you say to them as far as receiving, to be able to see what God has for them?
I'd tell them the same thing I'd tell them if I was Jesus myself and sitting on a throne inside Jerusalem and they wanted to come see the King of all kings. I'd say, bring him a nice gift. And what he asked for more than he asked for anything else is you.
Mm.
The number one sacrifice that God's looking for in your life is you. He wants to wear you like a glove. He wants you to clothe yourself with him, and he wants to clothe himself with you.
You are listening to The Sue Free Show on our flagship station, 99.5 KKLA. If what you're hearing right now, you know somebody that needs to hear this, or you want to share it with somebody, my suggestion is to go to SueFree, spelled like fries, one word, .com, and this podcast are available there. So just go to SueFree, spelt like fries, one word, .com, and you can share this podcast with others. Thank you so much for you San Diegans for tuning in also, and even up north. It's so amazing to think that the show is syndicated, but it is. And now with the internet, it just goes everywhere, and it's very exciting. So you said to give yourself. It says love thy neighbor as thyself is number two, but the first one is love thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and body, and then love thy neighbor. And what you're saying is exactly that. God wants you, and God wants me, and when we give him all of us, then he can do his work in us. Is that what you're saying?
And through us.
And through us.
That's right.
That's what you're saying.
In the manifestation of Jesus, if you look at Ecclesiastes chapter 1, or chapter 8, verse 1, it says, who is as the wise man, and who knows the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom makes his face to shine, and the boldness of his countenance is changed. So when God's there, if you just relinquish the way you think, how you feel, what your personal opinion is, and let it be replaced with God's word and what his word says, He just might show you something that you'll be very astonished. And inside that light and that glory that appears, this is called the favor of God. The Shekinah glory of God is the blessing that was on the Jewish nation. And this is still a Judeo-Jewish, it's a Jewish-Christian gospel. Because the chosen of God had his presence on them. And that's what made them invincible. That's what causes them to prosper unto this day. If you want the prosperity of God, if you want the health of God, then I would above all things that you prosper and be in health, even if your mind, your will, and your emotions surrender to the price that's already been paid for you, that Jesus paid for and prayed for in Gethsemane. Not your will, but his will be done.
Yeah. How can one function in the wisdom of God, and where in the Bible can we go to strengthen God's wisdom within?
Well, if I had to send you somewhere that would open your eyes, especially if the men listening to me, I get in trouble for this one, but I'll say it anyway.
That's okay. You go for it.
The wisdom of God in Proverbs is defined as she. That's why a lot of Unitarians and people like that thinks God is a woman.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth is, it's in the feminine gender. And if for a heady, high-minded man of today to get in touch with the wisdom of God, he's got to get in touch with the feminine side of himself. He got to be willing to cry and travail and wait before God for the right answer. And it may come from God like an answer you'd speak through a mother instead of a father.
Mm-hmm.
It'll have compassion and grace about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's long-suffering and temperate and meek, and it's kind. And it's willing to be an example if it's got to give an answer that's hard. And I don't know, for the sake of time, I have one little story I'd like to give you.
Go ahead.
I think I keep seeing a woman sitting behind a steering wheel, and she's on her way to work, and she's about to scream because she don't know what to do next. God had me stop in Bill Clinton territory back when, right after he was president. And bars on the windows. Look, and it was rough. And I was just going to hit it outside with my car and leave, and God said, go in and minister to that lady. So I walked in, Old Testament type, and just pointed my finger at her and said, thus saith the Lord. And she was one of these Pentecostals that went into it, boy, raised her hands. Now, you can imagine how it looked. I'm standing there with my finger pointing at her, and she's got her hands up. And this is the service station in a rough area. I said, put your hands down. Long story short, God's moving you. He's giving you a job that pays almost three times what you got here. I said, but you're going to have to move. Then her countenance dropped. And I said, that's right. You got to move out of that house you're in. But I gave my testimony about that house, and it's the most beautiful thing, and da-da-da-da-da, God this. I said, yeah, but if you'll be honest, it's been a nightmare, and you've had to fix everything in it. Just because God gave it to you don't mean it was a positive thing. While you've been working that out, he's worked out a lot of junk out of you. And now you can sell it, make a profit, and move, and your children can come visit you on the job without worrying about getting killed. She
That's
said,
really
I understand.
Good. That's really
All
good.
My hardships have been turned into stepping stones. And I can actually believe for this. And then she went to, I don't know if she was speaking in tongues or what she's doing, but I got in my car and left.
And listener, your hardships can be stepping stones also. You know, we can be victims, we can choose that, or we can choose to be conquerors and victorious. Jesus says we're victorious. And so I'm going to believe that, and I'm going to believe that for you, that no matter what you're going through, no matter what is happening, that God has an amazing plan. He created you for a specific purpose. And I, for one, want to see that purpose completed. I want to see you be all God has for you and be all God has created you to be. And how do you do that? Well, some of the things that have been mentioned right here in this show are some of the things that you can do. We will be back with more of the Sue Free Show on our flagship station, 99.5 KKLA.
They're called the stealth bugs of the insect world, termites, every homeowner's nightmare. But a lot of KKLA listeners don't lose a moment of sleep over termites because of Ecola Termite and Pest Control. They are California's leading ecological alternative termite control company. You see, Ecola gets rid of termites by using family-friendly, poison-free alternatives like Electrogun that seeks out and eliminates the little rascals. Microwave process for small areas, and their new Ecola Heat using clean hot air for entire walls. No embarrassing circus tent over your home. No poison gas, no bagging your food, or moving out for a couple of days. Ecola Termite and Pest Control gets rid of termites effectively and quickly. So call Ecola at 877-332-BUGS. 877-332-BUGS. Ecola.
powerful termite and pest control as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 877-332-BUGS. You're listening to The Sue Free Show.
Thank you, Ecola. I am so grateful and thankful that Ecola can sponsor this show to make this information and this discernment and these helpful shows available to you. And I'm forever grateful. So thank you, Ecola. And if you need a termite or a pest control service, please don't hesitate. Just call us. Let us take care of it for you, because we're here for you and we want to make sure that you're taken care of. So call Ecola today. We've been talking to Larry, and we've been talking to him about a lot of things. I mean, he has such a wealth of scriptures and knowledge. And if you're just tuning in now, please get the podcast on Sue Free, spelled like fries, one word.com, and listen to the whole show, because there's so much wisdom in the words that were spoken. You know, out of our weakness, God makes us strong. And things that happen in our lives happen for a reason. We don't always have the answers. And we say to God, you know, you say you won't give us more than we can handle, but right now it sure feels like more than we can handle. I know, I've been there. Many times I've been there. And I know now, looking back, didn't understand it going through those trials and tribulations, but now looking back, I know that through perseverance that I am better, and I've had the rough edges like worn off. I still have more, I'm sure. But I'm a better person because of the trials and tribulations that I've been through. And I know that I'm more sensitive and humbled by those things. And you all have your own journey. You all have your own life story. And I know the same is true for you. And you might be right in the middle of something and you don't understand. But God knows. God knows where you are. You can reach up and ask Him, and He'll be right there for you. He wants you. He wants all of you. So sometimes in our weakness, you know, He's there and He wants us to lean on Him. So if you need to do that, then just do it. You have that freedom. Go ahead and do it. And, you know, God gives us grace. I don't know where I would be without that. That is an amazing thing. So, Larry, we were talking about weakness and God makes us strong. And I was saying at the break that I remember that when I was writing my book and I had to put the timeline together, there were so many empty spaces in between the timeline. And I realized when I was doing my timeline for my life that I had the memories of the sad parts or crisis or issues that happened in my life. Those were the timeline memories that I had. And then I filled in those gaps in between. And I know that those things have been life-changing for me. What would you say to the listener out there as far as what would God say about those things?
There's a reason for them. There's a reason for everything. There's been so many different types of stories that I could tell and experiences that I've had. But the bottom line is, I always tell people, stop doing what you're doing. You keep doing what you're doing, you're going to get the same results. If that's what you want to live with, then go for it. But if you want to go where you're called, I used to tell people, you know, I think God's got a different alphabet. And there's only two letters in it. It's E and Z. And if it's not easy, it's not God. Because if you've surrendered and you're allowing God in, then you're not going to have to row the boat anymore. Not that God's automated, but like when He was walking across the sea and a big storm, a tempest blew up and the disciples were rowing, wasn't getting anywhere. He acted like He was just going to walk right on by them. And if they hadn't have cried out, He would have. But He turned in and they invited Jesus into the boat. And He told the storm, and actually it was the peace that was disturbed. He said, "Peace, be still." And it was still. Everything, just the storm stopped. And then they looked up, and the boat was already on the other side. Straightway, when you see the old King James Version say straightway, that means instantly. It arrived at the other shore. And the people that He had just performed a miracle for had actually beat them around the storm to the other side, and He faced them with the truth. And that's when, after He did that, He looked at His disciples and said, you know, they wasn't here because they loved me. They came for what they could get. The easy way out. There is no easy way out. Then He looked at His disciples and said, you want to go with them? And that's when Peter had the revelation. He says, where are we going to go? You're the Christ. You're the virtue of God that's to be put back on this planet. You're the Messiah. And He told Peter, He said, you know, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. That's not natural knowledge. But my Heavenly Father did. So my advice to you is just, you know, you've been doing it over and over again. How long you had that life? Turn it over to Jesus. Invite him into the storm. Invite him into the boat. And let's see what happens. I mean, the worst thing could happen is you'd be a success and have to give him the credit for it. That kind of takes I out of the picture. And that puts him on the throne of your heart.
Which is where he belongs.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're saying that Jesus has two letters, EZ,
mm-hmm.
meaning that it's easy when it's him in control.
Right.
Right. But that doesn't mean easy way out.
No, it doesn't.
Right.
In fact, sometimes he'll tell you to go directly toward the thing you fear the most and overcome evil with good. Somebody threatens me, I'm not saying that I don't have fear. But if I do, I'm going to go check it out, because if there's something that can control me or muscle me around or cause me to miss something, generally that the devil puts a barking dog right in front of the place you're supposed to be if you're scared of dogs.
That's so true.
Yeah.
That's so true.
Yeah. But if I look at the circumstances, nothing's as it seems. There's always a reason for everything when you're a child of God. He slowed me down many times. And I saw things, I learned things, and I seen the reasoning in it that I would have never seen. Like coming here today, I told Matt, I said, you know, when you're riding as a passenger, this is really a beautiful place. I didn't even know that mountain was there. I've been this place many times, but I always focused on the road when mm-hmm. I was driving.
Mm-hmm.
People riding with me got to see it. But I said, sometimes God gives you a different way to go. Sometimes it's a little slower, but you see things and it changes you. And you would have never had time to see them the way you were driving before.
Mm-hmm.
And it just happens to be the very things that gives you the wisdom that you need to inspire others to do. And inspiration can affect thousands to go out and do what you as one person would have done, but you'd have just accomplished that in one place. And it's needed everywhere. So be grateful for the circumstance that you're in. I'm not telling you that you shouldn't pray for God to get you out of it, but tell him this. Teach you what you need to learn while you're there so you don't have to repeat it. Because you're going to need it where you're going. You're going to need every ounce of wisdom to help people get out of this circumstance of a cursed world and to become a light themselves to bring others out of it. They need examples, and that comes from experience. You're not going to avoid the experience.
It's called preparation.
Yeah.
I say that Jesus was preparing me for where I am right now.
That's what undergirds your faith is hope, and that comes through experience.
Yeah. That's so good. You are listening to The Sue Freeze Show on our flagship station, KKLA 99.5, and we're talking to Larry Herlong. Can you describe how God has revealed to you the passage in Scripture, faith works by love?
Mm-hmm. The way he showed it to me, that he is faith. And I said, that doesn't sound right. That doesn't sound theological. He said, well, what about it's an earnest deposit of me that's down in your spirit? And I'm only activated by what I am. I mean, you don't walk up to a gas burner and pour diesel in it. It's not going to work. But if you activate that measure of God in you, that's love, because God is love. That's who he is. And if you're moved with that version of love that touches other people based on you being in their shoes or you seeing how they are or how they think or remembering some circumstance you were in, but for the grace of God, there go I. And you activate or you move with compassion and let love motivate you in what you're doing to help. You just released Jesus on the scene because he was moved with compassion in everything he did. Faith is a deposit of God, and faith without works is dead, because God will not move except it be him. He does not move. He's not, you know, pity don't move him. What moves him is faith. And that's because he's needed to do something, is going to get the credit for it. And that he can spread, and he can spread his kingdom of love, his kingdom of joy, if it's done in a divine way, in a holy way, in a clean way, in a decent way. He demands everything to be like that. Decent. Just do the right thing, and it'll activate God. And you give God the credit for it. Even when they see his glory shining from you, tell them, that light's not coming from me. It's coming from him that's in me. That's what Jesus told him. Good master. He said, there ain't nobody good but him to send me. You don't give any glory to the flesh, even sinless flesh. It's going to be God. If you make it all about him, then he'll do the job for you.
Just last week I was talking about judgment versus love. Yeah. And, you know, there's those that judge and there's those that love. And I'd much rather be on the loving side,
right,
than the judging side. And so that's really good, just hearing what you had to say there. In your teaching, you describe John as being closest to Jesus of his inner circle. Can you tell us why this is?
I think so. John was the quiet, silent type. He had a character about him that was more like God than any of the rest of them. He was totally opposite from Peter. He understood Jesus on a natural level because he was a fisherman. And, you know, being the sons of Zebedee and then hanging out the way he didn't have the same drive or the same passion that everybody else did. And this is some of the things I relate to people in the corporate world and politics. Get somebody that's loyal, somebody that's faithful to you, not what you do. Let them be an extension of you. Let them care about you. Let them care about what you care about and take care of the little things. Remember Jesus says the little foxes spoil the vine? And Jesus was a man. He wasn't just God. What he did as man. He did as a sinless man because that was the price that God required to buy us back from where Adam sold us out. But he also had a passion, like for his mother, for instance. And while he was hanging on the cross, he gave that responsibility as the eldest son to John. Woman, behold thy son. Man, behold thy mother. And because he had that measure of love, I'd say he had more of God than anybody. And that's what Jesus loved. They tried everything they could to get rid of him. They tried to boil him, and he wouldn't boil, according to secular history. Finally, they just put him on an island, and that's exactly where God wanted him, secluded so he could write the memoirs of the church. You read John, you understand more about God, really, than anything else, because it's all about love and the creation. Everything that was created by him and for him and for his good pleasure.
In our conversation, you said that, you even said it today, as far as you can be moving so quick that you miss the simplest of things, and those simple things might be what God's trying to reveal to you.
Mm-hmm.
So the obvious is slow down.
Well,
smell the coffee or smell the roses, which, you know, I'm on high speed.
Right.
And so from a personal experience, I know there's other people listening that this will help too, but how do you suggest somebody like, you know, like I pray to God before I put my feet on the ground in the morning and I just ask him to guide my steps, to guide my words, to guide my thoughts, because mm-hmm. I want all of that to be from him, not right. mine, but his. And so I'm in anticipation of, you know, hearing his words and hearing his guidance. And, you know, I want him to guide me.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like I'm doing that, but yet I'm still on high speed. So from a personal experience, I'm just asking how, I guess I just don't know how to slow down.
Well, you'll learn. You have a God that won't take no for an answer. He's your Heavenly Father.
Yeah.
And this is the bottom line and the main train of thought that you need to keep in mind. First dispensation of the gospel is a justified dispensation, like Baptist, Methodist, Episcopalian, like that. Unto the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with his mouth confession is made unto salvation, but it's him doing, mm-hmm. almost in a one-third mode, while two-thirds of it he's fighting carnality.
Mm-hmm.
The second is the spirit-filled movement, and it's the sanctified movement, where you have more of God than you really know what to do with, but it's still you doing the works. The third dispensation of the gospel, and the one he's returning for, is the glorified state, where he is possessing you.
So that I want to be there.
Well, he wants you to surrender you where he don't lead and guide your footsteps anymore. He's in you walking it,
uh-huh.
and you just go. It's like Abraham. He didn't know where he was going, but he knew the voice that was speaking to him, and he just went, and God went with him. And that's the whole thing right there. I had a guy come into my office one day, and I sat and listened for a few minutes. He's a powerful guy. And at least 10, maybe 50, one time, 27 times, But I tried this, I did that, and I told God this, and I asked God that. And then I went and I said, well, so far I see there's at least 27 people in your way. He said, who are they? I said,
the 27
all
eyes?
You.
Yeah.
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 Can you imagine what you'd look like with 27 eyes?
Oh, my goodness.
So,
okay.
You know, order my footsteps, tell me what to do, show me this, I'll do that. It, you know, it's all about your ears to your heart.
Okay.
Faith comes by hearing. That's how the virgin got pregnant. She heard the word of God from the mouth of Gabriel, said, according to thy word, be it unto me. And then God took over and overshadowed her and did what his word said. She didn't have to do it. And that's what he wants to do to you. He wants to possess you. He wants to take you over. He wants to do through you. And you just do your little part in conjunction with others that's with you. You roll the stone away. He raised the dead. And that's how easy it is. But how to get there where you know takes taking on the mind of Christ. And that's a forcive action that you make yourself do as a discipline. And it doesn't matter which chapter, what book, you run it through there. It cleans you. It moves your thoughts, your way of thinking, your opinion. It lets his opinion, based on his word, which is his will, come forth. And he's alive. He's not a computer. You ain't got to, you know, cue him up. And he will speak to your heart and compel you in the right direction. And that's what he wants to do through you for the day.
You are listening to The Sue Free Show on our flagship station, 99.5 KKLA. So the listeners listening, they want what you're suggesting. They're wanting this. Okay, so what would be the directives? I know. Read the Word.
Well, of course, you got to read the Word. Right. You've got to be washing of the water of the Word. But the regeneration of God's Spirit, they call it the regeneration of the Holy Ghost, it takes yielding. And whatever it takes to do that, people ask me all the time, because I got three sizes of clothes in my closet, and if I have a besetting sin, it's probably an order of French fries. I knew when I said I want fries today, I didn't know he was going to send me this lady. So her name's Freeze, you know, so I need to be free from the fries. That's the way I look at it.
Yes.
But sometimes I fast for lengthy periods of time, and it takes, there's a real technique to it. But fasting is basically for the Christian to subdue the natural physical realm, because the natural mind cannot receive the things of God. They must be spiritually discerned. They must be revealed by God's Spirit. And the way to get more of God's Spirit is to empty out your own, because there's nowhere to put it if you don't. So the first thing you have to move, whatever it takes, is your opinion. So if you're not going to move that, don't starve yourself. Don't do any rituals. Don't give an extra offering. Get your heart right first. Then what you do will be honored by God. Because if you're doing it with the wrong attitude or the wrong motive, you know, even fasting, it's not to get power so you can get your own way. It's to get his way. And it might be, and most of the time really is, totally different from your own.
Mm-hmm.
It's sacrificial love that will do, expecting nothing in return, except the glory of God and the benefit of God and spreading his kingdom of love and other people growing and giving a testimony about what God done for them with no strings attached. And if you do that and you surrender that, you will get the inheritance, but the inheritance is Jesus himself, that omnipresent one that can have that vessel anytime he wants it. That'll never change. That was his reason for coming, and that's his reason for bringing us further and further into him.
I don't know about you, listener, but I know that that's what I want. I want that. I want that. I want that. So I'm hoping you do too. And, you know, these things, they can be yours. I mean, Jesus says that he wants to be there right with you. He wants to work through you. And, wow, it's exciting to think that this could happen. And it can happen. And it can happen sooner, not later. You just have to make a decision and be obedient. And out of obedience comes blessings. So in closing, what would you like to say to the listeners right now? What do you think would bring them the most fulfillment or the most, I don't know, whatever you feel, what do you think?
I think the acknowledgement of what God's word says is exactly what it means. You need to get more of Jesus, and you need to go ye into all the world, not into the church, but into whatever path that God's got you in, whether it's school, college, occupation, and do the right thing. Be the right kind of vessel. It's not a vessel of compromise. It's a vessel of non-offense, truth, and love, and reason. And if you just tell the truth and do the right thing, everything will come out okay. But the one person's opinion that you've got to relinquish in order to accept his and do his will is like Jesus said, not my will, but thine be done.
Mm-hmm.
Nevertheless, I know that's exactly what's got to be done. And he conquered the mind, will, and the emotion of his own physical being right there. And the glory of God was pressed through his body so earnestly, it actually spilled back out like drops of blood. Medically, he should have died, but the angels ministered to him, and he finished his course. Settle it in prayer that you're going to yield to Jesus no matter what and give him permission to take your vessel over with an unction from the Holy Spirit and just do the right thing when your time comes. It's needed in the world. That's what you're getting equipped in the church to do, is to go ye into the world and love sinners like Jesus did and let them see that light and come to the Lord. Be who you really are You're enough. You and Jesus. That's it.
Doesn't that sound wonderful? Ah, I love it. And you're enough? You know, there was a time when I felt very unworthy when I was going through trials and tribulations, and I was beating myself up over decisions that I'd made in the past. And it took some really wonderful, godly people to surround me and an opportunity that God gave me to go into a situation that was safe to where I could receive what God had for me. And I know that he put me there for a reason. And I know that everything that's happened has happened for a reason, just like with you. Things that have happened to you, they, you know, we don't understand everything, but they've happened for a reason. And now we have a choice, don't we, on how we're going to go forward and what we're going to do with all of those experiences. And we can say we're a victim and we can, you know, stay where we are. As was mentioned earlier, is if you want the same thing to happen, just keep doing the same thing. But if you want something different to happen, you can make a choice. God gave us freedom of choice for a reason. So you have a choice in how you're going to move forward. And I don't know about you, but I think that having Jesus take the wheel and Jesus being in control would be a lot better than me having the wheel. So my suggestion is that we do what's been suggested here. And we read his word. We ask him into our heart, into our minds, to guide our thoughts, and ask him. And sometimes we have to yield, don't we? We have to be still. That's a hard one for me. I don't know about you, but it's a hard one for me. It's to just be still and know that I am God. But maybe that's what needs to happen. I'm not sure where you are, but God knows where you are. And these words have been spoken for you. You have been chosen, and you're being prepared. He's preparing you for something very, very special that maybe only you can do. I don't know what that is, but isn't it an exciting thought to think that that's what's in the future? I'm picturing somebody right now that's really in a tough, tough, tough spot. Such a down spot that they're saying to me right now, but you have no idea what I'm going through. You have no idea what I've been through. And you're screaming out and you're crying and you're in so much pain. And what I can say to you is Jesus is looking down on you right now and he's reaching his hands out to you and he's just asking you to look up and ask him. And he's right there for you. And he'll meet you right where you are. And he's there for you right this minute. Just reach up and ask him. He's there for you. We have just a few more minutes left.
I always tell people, don't see me, see Jesus. He's still alive, and he lives inside. And all you got to do is yield, and he'll come from my heart into your heart. And then you can go wherever he takes you and shine that light in a dark place, and they will respond. That is the glorified state, where you're glorified and deified with the physical presence of God, who is love from on high. He's a sacrificial God. He's ready and willing to prove it to you and through you to others. That's what he rewards.
This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Mm-hmm. That's what I thought of right now when you just said that.
Right.
To be a light in the darkness.
Put it on a hill.
Yes, thank you so much for joining us today, Larry. I really appreciate it. And thank you, listeners, for listening. You've been listening to The Sue Freeze Show on our flagship station, 99.5 KKLA. God bless.
God, you're forgiven and loved. Child, you're forgiven and loved. Child, you're forgiven, and child, you are loved. Child, you're forgiven and loved.
The Sue Freeze Show is sponsored by Ecola Termite and Pest Control Services.
Ah, it's that time of the year when bugs multiply like crazy and start looking for a home, your home. Ants, spiders, fleas, earwigs, termites, and a lot of other creepy crawly critters, even rats and other varmints. It's time to call Ecola Termite and Pest Control Services. They offer complete ecological pest control of rodents and insects.
Ecola has one-time services, ongoing monthly services, their most popular and economical every other month service, and even quarterly service for occasional pest problems. Ecola keeps rats and mice out and eliminates insects in their nests. It's the most effective way, and their termite control is legendary. So call Ecola today for a free estimate of complete pest control at 877-332-BUGS. No more creepy crawly critters like ants, spiders, fleas, earwigs, termites, rats, and other pests. Call them at 877-332-BUGS. 877-332-BUGS. Ecola, powerful pest control services as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 877-332-BUGS.